Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, race fans, welcome to Race Fans Rock Radio Show. I'm your host, Infield Jen, and you know what? I have another good show planned for you tonight. And this is my catch-up show, actually, because I missed last week. And that's really, like, the first time I've missed a show since I started. But the reason why I missed the show was we were traveling to Pocono Raceway. I was traveling with Brian and our crew to Pocono Raceway because Matt Kurzyewski was racing. We traveled up Tuesday night, and by the time I got to the hotel, it was just before 8 o'clock. And by the time we got settled into the hotel, unpacked, there would be no way in that I would be able to get the show started on time. So I apologize for that. But the good news is my guests are really cool, and they're going to be on the show tonight. So I'm going to have Nick Graff, who was my dedicated fan and the stand reporter from Dover International Speedway. He'll be on the show tonight, coming up in just a little while. And this week's dedicated fan and the stand reporter was Kyle Baker, who was at Pocono Raceway. They did a really, really good job, and Kyle actually took a bunch of pictures, so it was easier for me to kind of post the link to his Facebook page, and so that's all posted up on infieldgen.com. When you get to Kyle's page, you'll see the links, and you can click on that and check out all his pictures. He had a really good time, and he's going to talk all about it. So we went up to Pocono Raceway on Tuesday, as I said, and we had a test session on Wednesday, and we did really well there. Matt Kurzyewski, Brian Keselowski, they were kind of, you know, trying some new things, this, that, and the other thing. And testing is always like, well, how'd you do in testing? My answer is always like, I really don't know, because, you know, Brian's like a wizard, you know, in a science lab when he's doing kind of testing stuff. So he's trying this, he's trying that, and this, that. And he just, you know, what really happens on the boards, it's, you know, we did pretty well on the boards anyway, but, you know, by the time the green flag drops, things that you did in testing kind of change and this, that. So testing went well. Everything was good. Everything came home in one piece. And the race was even better. Matt Kurzyewski was, up until now, Matt's only run the super speedway tracks. He's done Daytona and Talladega for the past couple of years. And I got to tell you, after he finished seventh at Daytona this year, and he finished sixth at Talladega. And it kind of fired him up, and he's like, I want to do more. And which meant that we had to go get him a new car, because super speedway car, you can't use it at Pocono. So Brian, you know, made some arrangements, and he found a nice car for Matt to use, and they bought it, and so that's what they did. Brian worked on that car for the past two, three weeks on it, and it really did look good. And like I said, it did really well in testing. But this is Matt's home track up there in Pocono, and as he lives only 2.5 hours away from the track, so. You know, and I know from, like, a lot of drivers up there, when you go to Pocono for the first time, there's two answers. You either really, really like Pocono, or you really, really do not like Pocono. And I was really hoping to hear that Matt liked it, and finally, after the testing was over, I said, okay, Matt, I got to ask you, I said, what do you think of this track? Do you like it? He's like, I love this track. And I was like, that is the best answer. That's still what I wanted to hear. So I said, good, you know, and he's like, yeah, this is really cool. Like, perfect. So I knew that was going to set the good precedence for the rest of the weekend, and it sure did. You know, he finished fifth. He led the race for like 20-something laps, and it was really cool. And to watch him come in fifth, so every time we go to the race, he just seems to be getting a little bit, you know, better and better by one spot. So we are going to Michigan this weekend, and I almost thought that I was going to have to reschedule the show tonight because, I thought we were going to be leaving tonight, which was the original plan. But we're not going to leave now till tomorrow morning, very, very early sometime. So I'll be up in Michigan this weekend. But at Pocono, you know, I got to tell you, I went to Pocono. Pocono was the first race that I've ever went to. And I remember back in 2004, sitting in the grandstand, looking across the track into the infield going, I wonder what they do in there. I want to find out. I believe you would have said that to me then, that I would be doing this now, I would have said, you're crazy. But, you know, it kind of came full circle for me. And it was kind of, I kind of consider Pocono like my home track too. I went over the wall at Pocono, you know, Pocono Raceway. And that was pretty cool because I stood on that side of a pit wall and kind of looked over to the section where I sat so many years ago, and I was just like, wow. Okay, now I know what goes on this side of the fence at Pocono Raceway, so that's pretty cool. And hey, congratulations to Trevor Bain, who did win that ARCA race. That was actually his first time at Pocono as well, and he ran the ARCA race really to get some practice at that track, which is a smart thing to do for him, you know. But he did well. He pretty much dominated, you know, a good portion of the race, and he was in it to win it at the end. So congratulations to Trevor Bain on that. Martin Truex Jr. won the Cup race, which was awesome because I got a couple of buddies on that team, and I was really happy for them. Good job for that team, too. You know, you always hear about the underdogs. Well, when an underdog team wins and does something like that, they get a lot of respect in the garage. They get a lot of help in the garage, you know. They get taken a little bit more seriously, and that's always a good thing. It's a good step in the right direction. But, yeah, my buddy Tommy DeBlasi is on that team. And, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, I was really giving him some hell. I was really busting his chops, I guess you could say, about he moved out to Colorado from Mooresville. And I remember sending him a message going, it's bathing suit weather here. I think we'll go, you know, to the pool or something today. I said, oh, what are you doing, Tommy? Oh, right, it's snowing by you, you know. So we're kind of jostling him around and everything. But he's going to be, I'm waiting for the message to get back from me. He's like, so I won the trophy and you didn't know. You know, I'm waiting for it, but well-deserved, and I'm really happy for him. Matt Crafton went on to win the truck race at Texas Motor Speedway. And Matt's doing really well this year. It looks like he's going to win, you know, it looks like he's on the right path to win another championship, which good job for him. But, hey, now we're going to Michigan International Speedway for a full week of racing with the ARCA Racing Series on Friday. I'll be there. The NASCAR Xfinity Series on Saturday afternoon and the NASCAR Spring Cup Series on Sunday. And I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of cool, fun race fans up there and having another successful weekend at the tracks. Now, the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series didn't have the weekend off either. They don't have the weekend off this year. They will be at Gateway Motorsports Park, and they will race on Saturday evening after the truck race, after the Xfinity race. All right, at least I didn't say nationwide. So it's going to be a really, really jam-packed weekend of racing, whether you're at the track or not. But so I'm looking forward to getting up there, and it's going to be a long day tomorrow, so I'm really glad I'm doing the show tonight. Now, guys, I don't know if you heard, but I don't know what's going on, but past couple of weeks, it's like every stray dog on Patterson Farm Road in Mooresville has found me. This is something that's kind of always happened to me my whole life, like ever since I was a little kid. The first stray dog I ever found, I think I was like 4 or 5 years old, and it was a Great Dane in Brooklyn, and I rode him up the block like he was a horse, and I've been finding stray dogs ever since. Well, I'm 2 for 2 this past week and a half. The first one was a black border collie kind of lab kind of mix, and I found him on a Saturday night, and thanks to Facebook and everybody that, you know, follows what I do, they kind of helped put the word out there. And the following day on Sunday at 4:30, I met a lady who literally just lost a dog that looked a lot like the one that I had found, and she wanted to see him, and she did, and she fell in love with him instantly, and he's doing great. And she sends me pictures. He's got toys. He's got all this stuff. He's got, you know, he went to the vet. He's doing great. So he's found his forever home, and I'm really happy with that. Now, we came home from Pocono. We came home from Pocono Saturday. The race was Saturday, so we came home Saturday. We got home about, I guess it was Sunday at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And, of course, my dogs, they wake me up. So I was on like 3 hours of sleep. So Brian gets up a little later on, and then we do what we have to do for the day, and we're going to the shop later on that night. It was about 6 o'clock again. We're driving up Patterson Farm Road, and all of a sudden Brian saw the dog. I didn't see it. He pops his head up, and Brian's like, oh, there's a dog. I was like, no, you've got to be kidding me, not again. I was like, are you serious? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh, just turn the car around. So we turn the car around. And at this point, yeah, I just see the stray dogs. I'm like, all right, get in. Get in the car. We'll take you. Like, they see us. It's like they know we're coming. One guy, the first dog, it looked like he was just hitchhiking. And that's what made me notice him. Like, when I passed him, he kind of looked. And, like, I looked in the rearview mirror, and I saw his head. Like, hey, you forgot me. You know, so that's why I turned around and got him. But this one here, he was waiting by a mailbox. I'm like, okay, we must think that we're FedEx or something. But we picked him up. He was on new package, and we had him for a couple of days. He was good. He has a giant head, and he looks so mean, but my dog kind of bitched him out a little bit. Bert kind of gets grouchy every now and then, and he kind of just makes like a big noise, and he thinks he sounds tough, but he's really not. Well, this dog here could have taken Bert out in a heartbeat, and when Bert just started barking and growling at him, he just put his head down, like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't do that. It wasn't, I don't even understand. The dog could have easily killed Bert, but he didn't. But he was a really, really good dog, and we were kind of getting nervous that we weren't going to be able to find him, you know, a home before we had to leave. And thankfully, once again, knock on wood, it all worked out. Brian reached out to a couple of people on Twitter last night. Well, he put up a couple of tweets and reached out to some people, and a lot of people retweeted. Thanks a lot to all the retweets that you've done. And a lady and a husband contacted us, and we spoke with them, met up with them this morning at 10:30 in the morning, and they took... Well, we were calling him Buster because it kind of looked like he busted out. But we were calling him Buster Brown. He's cute. So, yeah, he's got a forever home now. And he's actually up in Virginia already. So he's doing good. So it's been a cool weekend. I just hope that we do not find another stray dog next weekend because I need a break. So people on Patterson Farm Road, do not drop your dogs up there, please. Just pick another road that I don't go up and down on for at least for a couple of weeks. All right, anyway. On to my first guest tonight. I want to welcome Nick Graff to the show, my dedicated fan and the stand reporter for Dover International Speedway. Hey, Nick, how are you?
Hi, Jen. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for coming on the show tonight.
No problem. Congratulations on all your success, both dog-related and your top five at Pocono.
Thank you very much. But this interview is about you, and I want to know, let's take it back. Like, when did you become a NASCAR fan?
I became a NASCAR fan about 15 years ago. It was pretty much my buddy. About 10 years ago. And my buddy, like, yeah, we need somebody to join NASCAR pool. I'm like, I watch it a little bit here and there. So they need to pick a driver. So I'm like, okay, so... The driver available for me was Matt Kenseth, and he just won the Ritzy Cup title. So I was like, okay, I'll put my money on him, and I'll follow him. And lo and behold, I kept watching more races and enjoyed the sport. Then I started going to Dover, and then I went to Pocono, and been following ever since. And now I can't wait to take my kids to a track.
Awesome. So what was the first thing that you did when you got to the Speedway?
Back then, I'm looking at a giant statue named Miles. I mean, it was over. I mean, I was down there. I'm like, wow, and seeing all the fanfare and people just hanging out, having a good time, and it's better than work. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, I know this is work for you, but I mean, still, I mean, it's all about family and friends and. Go out there mm-hmm. and enjoy yourselves. And when I got on the speedway, watching cars go that fast, go around a mile in, 17, 18 seconds or something like that, that mm-hmm. happened over. But, yeah, the rush, it hasn't stopped.
Cool. So what was the first thing that you did when you got to the speedway this weekend?
In Dover, first thing, yeah. I got there like 8 o'clock in the morning. I went right down to the Cup Rush. I try to get some autographs from the drivers going in their cars before first practice. That's usually the easiest. I mean, if you want to try and get a quick picture or a quick autograph for a driver, try the best day. Mm-hmm. No one's around. Yeah. You've got 3 seconds to make the best out of opportunity to beat one of your favorite drivers. So that's what I did. Either got a hero yeah. card or got the cell phone ready to take a quick picture or take a picture of my friend Jamie, and it was a blast. And
very cool.
We hung out most of the Friday in the Cup Garage.
Cool. So now, which drivers did you get to meet?
Oh God, I think my favorite meeting was probably meeting Ty Dillon. I mean, he is absolutely so polite and nice to the fans in the Xfinity Garage. I got pictures with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I got a picture with Carl Edwards. I actually got one from Jimmy Johnson. I didn't expect that at all. I was sitting on the top of the dirt path, And he coming up, he's signing autographs, and some guy's yelling at me, you have to be behind the battery. I'm like, I'm trying to set up a camera. I'm not asking for an autograph. And lo and behold, yeah. Jimmy stops. I take a quick pick and got picked out of the six-time champ. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a blast. Really cool.
So I guess, which driver did you enjoy meeting the most? Would it be Jimmy?
Let's see. The most, I really wanted to meet Eric Jones. And he's really fascinating me. Young kid. He wins Texas. He beat some really good Cup drivers in that Texas Xfinity race. And and he's just coming out of nowhere, filling in for Kyle Busch. And I like the upcoming drivers, the underdogs. And like this week, I was definitely rooting for Martin Truex Jr. to win because obviously he's from Jersey. He's still a Eagles fan, Phillies fan. I cannot root for him, but especially since I live in the area, so.
I totally agree. So you had access to the garages all weekend long, and now was this your first time to the garage at all, or have you been there before?
This is my third time. The first time was Pocono last year, and I won that on a Facebook contest, and me and my friend are looking at each other like, are we really here? I mean, is this for real? I mean, how do we act? We were just pretty much watching. And then, so we did that in Pocono last year for the second race. And then I'm on the racing reward program for JTG, and I redeemed my points to get cold passes. I got cold passes for them. I also got to sit Pat and Jody's trailer and ate a Busch bean, like a lunch, like pretty much all their sponsors, like Busch beans and Acme Fun. So that was the second experience. Sit in a pit box. It was unbelievable.
Very cool. Well, what did you think of the garages at Nova? Like just the whole facility itself?
Small. I mean, it's very small. I mean, Pocono, you got a lot of room to walk around and not be in somebody's way. There's like 4 feet between you next to one of the haulers and the garage. You have to literally be completely out of their way, and then you're in this tiny little trying to stay away and not get in somebody's way. But on the back, that's the one end of the garage, and the other end of the garage is when the cars are leaving to get on the track, and there's more space to take pictures and watch what they're doing. Or as you saw in my Dale Jr. photograph, he was jacking up a car. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, that's always good to see. You know, the drivers, sometimes the drivers like that, you know, they don't really get to work on their own cars and stuff. And some of them don't want to, but when you see one of those guys that, you know, doesn't have to work on his car, but he does, that, like that. I really like that, you know. So that's something cool thing.
I mean, the more input, more communication between the driver and his team, the more success you're going to get.
Exactly. And honestly, if you got a driver that builds his own cars, and I'm talking from experience here, Brian builds all his own cars, and I tell everybody the story. Like when we were at Richmond a few years ago, he was driving and his brakes were blowing, you know, and he pulled off the track at 92 laps, and he said, you know, I got to pull up now because I have about 2 laps left on these brakes. And sure enough, you know, he pulled off the track and took the tires off, and he had about 2 laps left. So when you have a driver that, you know, knows their cars and knows their equipment, knows what he can and can't do with it, it makes it for a better, you know, experience for that driver. Whereas you get like the young kids that don't know, you know, I got 2 laps left, they're just going to go until the brakes are gone, you know, so.
Right.
But I got a lot of respect for drivers that work on their own car. But so anyway, where did you wind up watching the races from?
I sat on pit road, start finish on the truck race and Xfinity race, and pretty much anywhere that had shade on Sunday because it was hot.
Really? Did you get burned?
It was plus 90. I mean, the first time when we went to Fanfare, and we went back to our car at 11 o'clock in the morning. Our car said it was 103 in there. It was hot. And they said it was the hottest race here, and it was. It was just absolutely brutal. I mean, after the race, all the all the drivers were taking their fire suits off and pouring water on them because it was just brutal conditions. Brutal.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't there for that one then.
I was just glad it was a quick race because that Friday night race, that demolition derby of trucks just one after another after another. I was just glad Sunday was a quick race.
Oh, God, that was good. So did you actually have a chance to get to the outside of the track and see what was going on out there?
I did that Sunday morning. Usually the cup drivers are all catering their sponsors on Sunday and preparing mm-hmm. for the race. So there's no real reason to be in the garage unless it's for driver intros and all that. So I went to the fanfare, and I did all the free sample stuff, got a nice koozie with miles on from Acme. I got a lighter from the Camel tent. I went to the tweet up and Kyle Larson showed up and everybody had all random questions for him. And everybody's like pushing at me out of the way. I'm like, okay, I met Kyle on Friday. I'm good. So you go ahead. But yeah, and that's what Sunday is all about. Is just hanging out with friends and, like, take it all in, like, outside of the track.
Mm-hmm. Now, did they have, like, anything, like, set up out there for, like, kids, families, you know, any cool kind of setup like that?
They had like, bounce houses for the kids to jump in. There was a Smithfield bacon thing. There was an eating contest. I mean, there was entertainment all over. There was two country singers. I missed them, but there was two country singers performing on stage. So it really does well on entertaining fans of all ages. So and they did a pretty good job of that.
Cool, very cool. Too good. So it sounds like there's a lot of things to do out there, you know, to keep fans entertained and you know having fun outside of the speedway. That's good to hear. Considering like. You know, how much of it's a really big struggle to get fans to the track these days. And, you know, speaking of that, did you happen to notice how full the grandstands were for both of those races?
You know, it's funny. They actually took a grandstand out, like, right around turn two. And this was, I observed on the truck race, they took out a portion of the grandstand turn two. And that's where it seemed like all drivers had a problem. I'm wondering if that open area made that turn faster and everybody caught loose. But, I mean, I thought the track was about 60% full. I mean, they also had banners at turn three on the high-end stands. I mean, Dover is a corporate-owned track, I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure of that. And I won't say they're out of touch. But I think they're more worried about their bottom line. You know what I mean? I mean,
mm-hmm.
you'll see discount tickets like they do at Pocono. You get a four-pack of tickets for $100 or get a little halftime eat thing for $19. They're a little more particular about the bottom line in regards to tickets. But their ticket prices are a little more higher than they are versus Pocono.
What were some of the prices that you might know of?
What's that?
What did they charge you for those tickets? Like, what were the prices of those tickets?
In Dover?
Yeah,
they charged,
they were more expensive.
They were in the 30s. I mean, I think they were, like, in the 30s, high 30s for an Xfinity race. And the cheapest tickets you could get for a cup was, like, $40 a pop. But that was through discount Ollie's. I have to go through a secondary market to pretty much get cheaper tickets to Dover. I mean, their ticket prices, I think, start at like 60 to 80 bucks.
Wow. Well, did you notice that were the grandstands full for the races?
Everything right from start finish line is full. It's just where you get to the turns, that's where it's bare.
Really?
But like I said, I thought capacity was like 65% full.
And that was for the cup race or the truck race?
That was for a cup race. The truck was empty. Xfinity was like not even 50%. I mean, it's tough. I mean, and I was talking to some fans outside, and it seems like the problem is to stay for a whole weekend is finding a cheap hotel. And it seems like the hotels are the ones that are charging astronomical fees for a weekend race. I drove an hour and a half to and back. I spent $80 on gas and drove 400 miles that weekend.
Oh, geez.
I mean, that's...
Oh, so you drove back and forth every night?
Yep, every day.
Oh, God.
I woke up 5 o'clock every morning, and I had to pick up my friend from Northeast Philly on Friday, and we drive down to Dover, which picking her up is on the way to the track. But yeah, I drove all weekend back and forth every hour and a half.
Oh, geez. Wow.
But
that's
what you got to do. That's what you got to do to save money. I mean, that's what it is.
Yep. That's true. If you want to go see the race, that's kind of what you have to do if you can't afford this. And I know those hotels skyrocket the prices when the races come to town.
Absolutely.
And even like the teams, you know, if we know that we're going to go to a race kind of late, you know, later on that we find out that we're going to go, you know, it's not like we get a break or anything. We have to pay $250 a room, you know, and then we got to try to block out a bunch of rooms, and then try to find a hotel that has that many rooms, or you got some people on this one, some people that one. It's a pain in the neck, but
my wife bought me a travel package to the 50th Daytona, and we stayed an hour and a half away from the track. That was our hotel, and we got a bus to take us to Daytona Saturday and Sunday. But it's all about the hotel prices are ridiculous. Or, I mean, a lot of people, I know friends that have a camper and have a pop-up or have a trailer and just stay in Enfield all weekend.
Yeah. Well, what other tracks have you been to besides Dover and Pocono? You said Daytona.
It's just those three. I stay local. I Pocono, Dover, and the one race at Daytona.
Go ahead.
Do I want to see more tracks? Yeah, but like right now I have kids and they're not old enough to go to a track yet. My friend keeps asking me to try and do Richmond, and I think that'll be fun.
I like going there. That's a good track. So, are you planning on possibly going to any other tracks this year?
Oh, I always try to get tickets for Pocono. I always try to do the four races a year for two Dover and two Pocono. So, if the opportunity is there, I'll go.
Sounds good.
I'm down.
Well, I posted a bunch of your pictures on my website, but how can people connect with you directly on social media?
My Twitter address is DXFlyers, all one word. I've had that screen name since AOL, like in the 90s. So it's DXFlyers at Twitter, and you can just look me up on Facebook, Nick Grass, and you can find me there too.
Cool. Well, have you joined RaceFansRock.com yet, so people could find you there
absolutely.
Too?
Absolutely. I've been there for a little over a month now.
Thank you very much.
Awesome.
What do you think of it?
You're welcome. I think it's
what
cool.
Do you think of the site?
I mean, it's a nice little social media community. If you have that niche where you try and gather more fans who are like you, who like a Kyle Busch or Jeff Gordon or Jimmy Johnson, and you find more fans interacting on your website, and I think it's going to blow up. I think it's going to be successful.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to hear you say that you like it. You know, we just kind of started up about a month and a half ago, and you know, it's got some stuff in it that we're working on, and there's a lot of different things that we want to implement, but we got to do it one step at a time, you know. So
absolutely, and you'll find more people on the way like me and help you out as much as you can, you know.
Sounds great. Well,
so
Nick, you
have a fan for life.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
And I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to meet you. We didn't go up to Dover, but hopefully maybe, you know,
it's
the next one around. That would sound good.
I hope so.
Me too. Me too. Well, I'm really glad to hear that, you know, you had a lot of fun. And, you know, like I said, your pictures were great. You did a great job as my dedicated fan and the same reporter. And thanks for coming on this week. And sorry about last week. We couldn't do it. But
thank you
for coming on the
show. No problem at all. Thank you for having me. And thank you for this amazing experience. I had a blast. And I hope to do it again. And good luck to your, all your adventures.
Thank you so much. All right. You have a great night and get back to your kids.
Thank you. All right, take it easy. Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Bye. Well, cool. That was Nick Graff, my dedicated fan and stand reporter from Dover International Speedway. And it's time, before I get to my next guest, I want to give a shout-out to my sponsor, Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC. Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC is a wealth and profitability company designed to help individuals and businesses manage their finances to help them not only grow their business, but improve their quality of life as well. They've been a huge supporter of this Race Fans Rock radio show, InfieldGen.com, and a strong supporter of Brian Kislav, and they're a huge supporter of RaceFansRock.com, my social community dedicated to racing and everyone in it. But Highland Wealth Advisors LLC have helped so many of their clients achieve the life that they've always wanted, and they've provided them with the peace of mind and the kind of financial stability that they were looking for. Highland Wealth Advisors LLC can help you live the good life, too. So for more information and to schedule your consultation, visit www.highlandwealthny.com today. That's highlandwealthny.com. And if you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina area or any of the surrounding areas and your house is a mess, don't worry. Just call Tate's Cleaning Services and they will get your home or office back in tip-top shape and smelling great in no time at all. There's no job that they can't handle. It's not too big, it's not too small, and it's not too disgusting. Trust me. My Basset Hounds, I'm talking from experience here. With the three of them, things get dirty, things get stinky, and it happens pretty quickly. My Basset Hounds only look low maintenance. The Tate's Cleaning Services is a fully licensed and insured, and they clean residential homes and commercial buildings and offices. And they're very pet friendly. You can find them on Facebook, / Tate's Cleaning Services, that's T-A-T-E-S, Cleaning Services, or email them at NorthCarolinaMade@gmail.com. And you can even give them a call at 763-269-1919. Just tell them Infield Gem sent you. You might get a discount. They're the best, and you will not be disappointed with. Now, it's time to get to my next guest, and it's on the line right now. Kyle Baker was my dedicated fan and the same reporter from Pocono Raceway this past weekend. And let's hear what he has to say. Hey, Kyle, you there?
Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm good, Kyle. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Awesome. Well, Kyle, thank you for being my dedicated fan and the stand reporter for Pocono. You did a good job. I'm going to kind of ask you some of the same questions that I asked Nick so that we could kind of compare what he said to kind of what you said, what you say about Pocono. When did you actually become a NASCAR race fan?
My dad's been watching it like his entire life, so I always really watched it, but I guess I started to really understand it in, 2005. So that was kind of, when I first really got into it.
Cool. Was this your first time going to Pocono Raceway?
No, this was my fourth time.
Okay. Was this the first time that you've ever been in the garages?
No, this was probably, my eighth or ninth time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the garages at Pocono?
Oh, I think from all the tracks that I went to, I think Pocono's set up the best. I mean, it's easier to meet the drivers just because they have to walk back and forth, and it's like you can see them in that area where, other garages are more kind of smaller, and it's difficult to, walk around. And if you, want to see, multiple drivers, it's kind of harder to do that. But in Pocono, pretty easier. They have to go to their hauler, to their cars. So I think it's just more fan friendly if you ever have the opportunity to be in the garage.
Cool. So what drivers did you get to meet this weekend?
We pretty much got to most of them. Jeff Gordon, Casey Kane, we got pictures with, and then Ryan Newman and Danica Patrick. We met a bunch of times.
Wow.
Yeah, we tried to take photos with her before, and then like selfies, and they really didn't turn out well, so we tried again, and then we had a few times of getting autographs. So, but she was really nice, and it was cool. And then, and then Paul Menard, I knew him, or I kind of see him a lot because I do go to a lot of races, but I got to see him again, so, and he's my favorite driver, so, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Now, does he know that he's your favorite driver? Did you get to talk a little bit?
Yeah, when we actually, it was like at Martinsville. Oh, the year before I went to like five races, it was like every other week, and then he started to recognize me. And then at Martinsville last year, he was like, hey, nice to see you again. So I'm like, this year he was like, yeah, I remember you. So it was kind of cool.
That's cool. When your favorite driver remembers who you are, that's nice.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'm going to assume that you enjoy meeting him the most.
Yeah, I do. Okay. I mean, he's really, I don't know, he's, a lot of people don't like him, but I think he's really friendly if you just, like, to his fans, so I think, I don't know, I just always followed him, so he's cool.
I always got the kind of, that he was just kind of shy. I know that, like I could recognize him pretty well, and I know that he walks through the garage sometimes in, like, jeans and a t-shirt, and people just pass him, they don't even know it's him. And He's good at doing that, and the other guy that was really good at doing that, he's on the garage right at this time, but it was, what the heck is his name, the guy that stays with, David Stremme. He would do it, and I was like, I know too, and he's just kind of like, don't say nothing, you know, just like, you know, but yeah, him and Paul Menard always used to walk around, I'd lay out, but yeah, it's not too, you can't see Dale Jr. doing something like that, or Jeff Gordon, you know, it doesn't matter what they're wearing.
Dale Jr. usually, like, wrap himself in, like, a sweatshirt and sunglasses trying to get away from him.
Yeah.
Caught him a few times like that, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, you want to laugh? I literally, okay, so I'll tell you this. My favorite driver, like, before I got involved with that, with the sport, it was Dale Jr. I used to follow him, and, you know, I met him. It took me 8 years to meet him for the first time, and that was, like, and he knows this. So, it's not, like, even if he's, I don't know if he's lived, but if he does, he knows this. So, when I first met him, like, it took me 8 years to meet you. You're not leaving this without me getting a picture with you, right? So, whatever. So, the picture, but now, it's kind of, you know, like, I see him, and he'll say hello, and now, he'll recognize me. He's like, okay. Well, we went out to dinner up at Pocono and came out of the restaurant, and I literally, like, almost walked right into him. And I was like, I was looking at my phone. I looked, I was like, who is this? And I'm on the walk. It was him. I was like, sorry, what's up? You know, he's like, oh, hey, how you doing? I'm like, good. And, you know, like, what's up? You know, I wasn't really expecting to see him, but I was on my phone. I really wasn't paying attention. But, so it's funny. But let me ask you, I don't want to get off topic. Where'd you wind up watching the races from this weekend? Each one of them.
We watched from the grandstands right at the start-finish line. I've done the pit road a few times, and I really don't like standing there. So it's kind of long to stand there on pit road during the race. So I just wanted
you
to sit
like
on the grandstands. No, not really.
You're the
not
only
during
one,
the race.
You're the only one I've ever heard say that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, I kind of like watching the race, and I feel like I really – can't like follow what's really going on when I'm standing there. So
that I agree. I totally agree, because if, with the off race, you know, even if you're on the pit crew, the only thing you're really paying attention to is he coming in this lap? Is he coming in this lap? And then you don't really get to see it on TV, you know. So what we actually did after the race, when we got back, we kind of watched it on YouTube. We watched all the oh, that's what was going on, you know. Because you get a wreck that happens in the backstretch, you can't see it. You don't even know what's going on. And where we were, we didn't have the screen to see what the heck was going on. So, it's not easy. So I guess I could understand what you're saying. Did you have, like, the scanner and all that, too?
Yeah, we have a scanner. We both had scanners. So it was I pretty much followed Paul and then Danica a few times. And it was just interesting.
Nice.
To listen to.
So as far as the raceway itself, like the facility, what did you think of the track overall?
No, I really like the track. I know some people say it's boring, but the races that I've went to, I find really exciting. I know I go to New Hampshire a lot, too, and the races at Pocono are way better, I feel like. So, I don't know, the track layout's pretty nice. I like that you can see, like, the whole thing still sitting in the grandstand. So, yeah.
So what other tracks have you been to?
Quite a few. Daytona, Kentucky, Indianapolis, Martinsville, New Hampshire, Pocono, Charlotte, And I think maybe one more, but not off the top of my head. Or Michigan, too. Yeah.
Oh, cool. I'm heading up there tomorrow.
I like that. That was the first time that I went in the garage, and that was a really cool experience, just it being the first time and everything.
Cool. So now, did you have a chance to get to the outside of the track and see what was going on out there? And I know that, that Pocono had that policy this weekend, and a lot of people were not happy with it, where once you leave the track, you can't get back in. You didn't have any problems, did you?
No, we didn't have any problems. We were able to leave and go back in with the hot passes.
Okay, good.
Pretty much, the fanfare was, like, gated in, which it's usually not, and I guess, I don't know, the policy was kind of weird to me, but I knew that I probably wasn't going to be affected by it, so I didn't really pay too much attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
But they did
mm-hmm.
have a lot of, they did have a good amount of stuff set up for, like, souvenirs, and then they had, like, this motocross thing that was, we got to see a part of it where these motocross drivers were driving off this ramp. It was pretty cool. And then a lot of stuff.
And all that?
Yeah, they
did
all the flips and everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like. I saw
cool.
that. That's great. I love that. I mean, I saw it years ago when I went there. I didn't see it this time, but that's cool. I didn't get a chance to get out there. So what else? Was there a lot of stuff there set up for kids, like family-oriented stuff?
They really had a lot of, like, inflatables kind of stuff, like bounce houses, and then they had, like, go-karting for kids. Yeah. So
cool.
It was definitely,
cool.
like, kid-friendly. So.
How was the food there?
We pretty much, we were out in the grandstands, and the food was just way expensive, but if you went in the infield, there's, like, this hot dog stand. We ate a lot of, like, hot dogs and hamburgers from there, and it was pretty cheap there, but outside, and we liked it, we kept going to, like, the same stand, but I don't know, outside the infield, my friend didn't really like what they had. He, like, got a corn dog for $5, and he was like, why is this $5? But, you know, that's just how it is.
Yeah, that's pretty expensive. Wow, all right. Well, it sounds like there's still a lot of things, you know, to do out there and keep, you know, fans entertained outside of Pocono Raceway. So, you know, that's good. That's always good to hear. But how did you notice, like, how full the grandstands were for the races that you went to?
Well, we pretty much sat right in the middle, and those areas are usually pretty packed, and, you know, it's so long that you really can't see down, but to us it looked pretty full, and I don't know, it looked more full than most years that have gone before.
Now, is that for the cup race, or is that for all the races?
For the cup race in particular, but for the ARCA race, it wasn't as packed, but there's still a good amount of people there.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Actually, I remember the grandstands, it wasn't bad for an ARCA race, so that was pretty cool. So I think it's getting better and better for ARCA. That's good to hear. Good to hear. So what would you say some of the best features about Pocono? What would you say the best features about Pocono are?
The best features about, I think that I do think it's really fan friendly, and I think that the owners, they do a good job listening to fans, and I think that, you know, they, when people are annoyed about the gate things, they're really quick to, like, say, we're trying to do this for your safety and everything. So I really think the owners do a good job of just, you know, listening to the fans, and then, you know, providing a weekend that, like, everyone, you know, tries to enjoy. And, you know, for me, you know, I've been, when I'm usually there, I'm usually in the garage, so I really think the garage is set up great, and they're pretty, you know, they make it so, like, the people that are in the garage are supposed to be there and stuff, and I don't know, they just make sure, like, you know, everyone just, I don't know, has fun, so.
Cool. So how many times have you been to Pocono?
4 times.
Okay, all right. Nice. So is there anything about Pocono that you didn't like or wish that they had compared to other tracks that you've been to?
Well, Pocono is, it's one of my favorites to go to, honestly, and just because it is closer and the racing is better than the other tracks around me, like New Hampshire and whatnot. So, I don't know, I think that, you know, the outside area, like, could be bigger, like, for the fans and stuff, because I know, like, some tracks, but I know, like, Sprint used to have an area and stuff, and they, like, kind of took back, and I think that you know, they could have more there, but it is kind of in the middle of nowhere.
And mm-hmm, that's
could
true.
Be like, yeah, it could be a lot of, I mean, I wish it had more stuff, like, in the area of the town or whatever, you know, around
mm-hmm.
the area, that you could, like, really
yeah.
stay there and have more fun. But this weekend I stayed in my college anyway, which is, like, 2 hours away, so we really weren't
oh, wow.
going to stay
okay.
there. Yeah, but I had to go to my college anyway, so it really wasn't that big of a deal.
Okay, I guess that worked out.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Are you planning on going to any other NASCAR races this year?
Yeah, New Hampshire in July, and then
okay.
probably Watkins Glen, because that's not far from my college. So.
Well, I think I'll be at New Hampshire this year, so and I'll be in the fan zone, too. So definitely look for the Race Fans Rock tent. You'll see it. It's going to be pretty
okay.
cool. So we're still planning on that. There's nothing set in stone yet, but
yeah.
seems pretty cool. Cool. Well, how can people connect with you on social media?
I'm KyleBaker99 on Twitter, and on Facebook, I think you've linked my photos from
mm-hmm.
Facebook on there, so if they look
yep.
at the photos, they can see me there too.
Cool. Well, Kyle, I'm really glad to hear that you had a terrific time, and yeah, I did post those Facebook links on my pages and on my website so people could check out your pictures, and thank you for coming on the show, and you did a really good job this weekend. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you so much. We had a great time.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. All right. You guys, you have a good night. I'll talk to you
soon. You too. Bye now.
All right. Bye. Well, there you have it. That's my dedicated fan in the stands report. They did a great job both weeks in a row. And I'm really lucky to always get pretty good people to do this. Well, hey, if you guys want to be my dedicated fan in the stands reporter at an upcoming NASCAR race this year, all you got to do is reach out to me and tell me why I should pick you, and maybe I will. If I do, I'll send you to the track with some garage passes, and I'll send you there on a mission. Everybody that I know that I've sent there to be my dedicated fan in the stands reporter has had a ton of fun. So you can do that too. Just connect with me, infilgen@gmail.com, or on any of the social media sites that I'm on, especially Race Fans Rock. Speaking of racefansrock.com, have you joined it yet? I'm telling you, it's really good on there, and I don't know what you're waiting for to sign up. RaceFansRock.com is my social community dedicated to racing and everyone in it. We've combined the best features of popular social media like Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. It's all in one social community and is dedicated to all things racing. Get on it now and watch it grow. We're doing things to it every week. We're giving away cool prizes weekly, and we have a lot more to come. We've made it so easy to stay connected with the complete integration of Facebook and Twitter. When you connect your Facebook and your Twitter accounts to racefansrock.com, you can post directly to Facebook and Twitter when you post to Race Fans Rock. Pretty cool, and it works. Plus, we took it one step further with Twitter, where once you connect your Twitter account to Race Fans Rock, you will see your entire Twitter feed on Race Fans Rock, and you can tweet, favorite, quote, retweet, everything, fansrock.com, and it'll all post to Twitter right from Race Fans Rock. Pretty cool. We're over 190 members strong, and we're growing every day. I checked out the statistics, and we're at over 100,000 page views and interactions, which tells me one thing. When our members sign on, they stay on, and it's really, really cool. So I've worked hard to make the site a really cool place, and we have a lot in store. So we're going to be posting a lot of the results real soon. It'll include practice sessions, qualifying, and race results. Currently, I'm doing all that on infieldgen.com. But we'd like to start posting that up on racefansrock.com as well, and we're going to do that. But, yeah, we're doing a lot on the back end to make sure that it's more mobile-friendly, and that's going to be all done until we build the apps for the iPhone and the Android. But those are coming. Those are coming. Feedback's good, and everyone who joined the site says that they really enjoy it. By far, my favorite thing about the site is the individual live chat rooms. I have them set up for every driver in the top three series and then some, and I even have my own social sofa chat room. It's a live social sofa chat room. So after you become a member, click on the chat tab. You'll see where it says browse chat rooms. Click on that and then look for your favorite driver's name or the one that says Infield Gen Social Sofa. Click on the name or my social sofa chat room and boom, you are live in that chat room. You can instantly connect with other fans that like the same driver as you do, and you never know when that driver will actually pop in there to chat with his or her fans live. Now, I'm always in my live chat room during the NASCAR races, and I could pull it up on my phone, too. So even if I'm at the track, I'm trying to be on there. Sometimes I don't have signal at the track, so it's a little difficult, but I'm still working on being on there as much as I can. But, yeah, I will be live. I will be in my live chat room during the NASCAR races, and you guys are all invited. I post the race updates on my Facebook fan page, but it's so much better doing that in my live chat room and much more interactive than anything on Facebook or Twitter. The goal for RaceFansRock.com is to build it into a one-stop social media shop for everyone to stay up to date with everything and everyone in racing all on one awesome site, and so far, so good. It's really coming together, and if you haven't joined already, please do it now. I know you're going to love it as much as I already do. And still on the agenda, I think, to come for Race Fans Rock is the classified section, which will have an eBay kind of feel to it. And we want it to be, you know, we want it to be, whatever we put on the site, we want it to have a familiar feel to it, a friendly feel to it, so that people can just start using it right away and it's fan-friendly. There's a lot more in the cards for the site, so join today and just watch it grow. Signing up is easy, and best of all, it is free. Once you become a member, make sure you add me as a friend, and you can have as many friends on there as you want. Unlike some other social sites who limit you, like Facebook, they force me to have, you know, two pages. My personal page is maxed out. I got people that are mad at me because I don't accept their friend requests. I'm like, I can't. You know, I got to wait till somebody deletes me or falls off Facebook's, you know, graces or whatever, and then I can accept one more person. I have over, like, 90-something people that want me to, you know, accept them, but I can't. They're just sitting in the queue. I feel bad. But with Race Fans Rock, the sky's the limit, so be friends with everyone on there if you want. All right, moving on. As you know, Brian Keselowski has built his own ARCA car from the ground up. It's beautiful. It's ready to see the track. And it's a shame that it looks so good and it looks fast and we haven't even started it up. But we're hoping that it won't take us too much longer to find the funds we need to get Brian and our car on the racetrack. He's doing a great job as a crew chief. He's excellent. He's really, really helped Matt come a long way in a short amount of time. But we want to see Brian back on track. And we're working with some people that are trying to help us, you know, find those funds. And, hey, if you're out there and you're listening and you want to be part of the motorsports marketing industry, you know, connect with me as soon as you can and maybe we can work together. All your inquiries will be answered directly by me and I can be reached at infieldgen@gmail.com. As you know, the search never, ever ends, so I'm still looking for sponsors with or without the help of a marketing company. And if any of my tunes and listeners want to get their feet wet in the sport as a sponsor, I want you to know that in addition to having just a decal on a car or a patch on Brian's uniform, we are much more than that. We're offering really attractive packages that include representation on both BrianKeselowski.com, InfieldGen.com, extensive social media awareness that includes Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, and now this Periscope thing. Oh, I got to talk about that. That's a lot of fun. But, and more. And we can even do live commercials right here on the show for our sponsors. We can even include some VIP experience passes to the ARCA race and or to a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race of our sponsor's choice. So we have a lot to offer a sponsor. It's a really good opportunity for you guys that have businesses that want to become involved. It's a good opportunity for you to get the word out about your business, your products, and your brand. And if you want to make an announcement, you want to do something cool and think outside the box, like say, hey, I want to, you know, say happy birthday, happy anniversary, or will you marry me, and use our car and a team as a way for you to do that, and make it memorable, just let me know. I live for that. I'll make it happen for you. So connect with me for more information, and it's infieldgen@gmail.com. So also the InfieldGen fan sponsorship, it's in full swing, and it's so cool. I'm turning race fans into sponsors every single day, and I can do it for you too. I'm going to turn a person that's living out in England into a sponsor next year in Vegas. I mean, how cool is that? I can't wait to meet her. But you could do it for as little as $100. I mean, come on. You'll get a VIP pass to a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race of your choice for the remainder of the 2015 season. Pick which one you want to go to. Let me know. And your money will go and help a really good race team get some stuff that they need. For more information, go to www.infieldgen.com/fans-sponsorship. I have it all written out, and I've posted a list of commonly asked questions. So you have all the information that you need right there on the site to make an informed decision. After you read through it, the only thing you have to do next is contact me and tell me when I can make you a team sponsor too. That's infieldgen.com/fan-sponsorship. And also, if you scroll down on my homepage of infieldgen.com, you'll see the fan sponsorship advertising box on the right. You can click on it, and it'll take you straight to that page too. So I got a couple ways for you to get to the same place. Pretty cool. So check it out, and I'm telling you, you never knew how easy it was to become a team sponsor, which will allow you to have the best time you've ever had at the racetrack. I customize packages as well, so if you want to see a logo on an NASCAR Spring Cup Series car, I can make that happen for you, too. It's pretty cool. So go check it out, all right? So now that the tricky triangle has made its way into the record books, we are looking forward to mixing it up at Michigan International Speedway this weekend, at least up until the end of the ARCA race on Friday. Then it's back to North Carolina for me, so I will not be there for the NASCAR Xfinity race or the Spring Cup race, unfortunately. I am working on some things that, if it all works out, knock on wood, I'll be at every race coming up. So we'll see, and I'll keep you guys posted. But let's get started on who's who and who's driving what this weekend. The NASCAR Spring Cup Series has 44 cars on the entry list for Sunday's Quick and Long's 400 at Michigan International Speedway. We have the J.J. Yeley's in the 23 and Ty Dillon's in the 33. Everybody else is in their usual cars. Teams not entered into this weekend's race is the numbers 21, 30, 39, and 95. The race is set to start on Sunday, June 14th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox Sports 1. There's 40 Xfinity cars on the entry list for the Great Clips 250 to include Denny Hamlin in the number 20, Joey Logano in the 22, Alex Bowman in the 25, CJ Faison, that's a cool name, in the number 26, Paul Menard is in the 33, Kyle Larson will be driving the number 42, Jeffrey Earnhardt in the 55, Kevin Harvick will be in the 88, Junior Motorsports, and Eric Amarola will be in the number 98. We're still waiting to hear who will pilot the number 54 this weekend. But the race is set to start on Saturday, June 13th at 2:30 p.m. on Fox. It's kind of strange that you have an Xfinity race on Fox and the Sprint Cup race on Fox Sports 1. Interesting. Anyway, there's 29 trucks on the preliminary list for Saturday's drive-in for Lyman 200 at Gateway Motorsports Park. We got Cole Custer in the 00, Adam Edwards in the 0, Ryan Ellis in the number 1. John Hunter Nemechek takes over for the rest of the season in the number 8. Austin Theriault is in the number 29 for Brad Keselowski Racing. Tommy Regan is in the number 45, and he's going to be replacing BJ McLeod. Travis Quappel is in the number 50. Matt Tift in the 51. Jordan Anderson in the number 74. And Timmy Hill will be in the number 9. The race is set to start on Saturday, June 13th at 8:30 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. Now, hey, if you're not at the track this weekend and you're not able to catch all the action on Fox, or even if you are more than welcome to grab a seat with me on my social sofa in my very own live social sofa chat room on racefansrock.com. I really want to get away from posting the lap-by-lap race updates on Facebook since it takes too long for people to read it and respond. On racefansrock.com in the live chat room, you'll be able to chat with me and others live all race long. In my live social sofa chat room on racefansrock.com. Did I say it enough? Anyway, check it out. Join me over there. But you can keep in touch with me and continue sending me your questions and requests all week long. You can find me on racefansrock.com by simply typing Infield Jen in the search box and add me as your friend. All your friends. So you can still connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/InfieldJenFanpage and facebook.com/racefansrock. Follow me on Twitter at InfieldJen, and I'm also on Instagram, LinkedIn, Google+, YouTube, Pinterest, and more as InfieldJen. Now, let's talk about Periscope. Let's talk about Periscope for a second. I met the reporter Kate Moss. That's the name that she goes by, and I've seen her on Facebook, and we've chatted a little bit, never really met in person. Got to meet her this past weekend in Pocono, and she's really, really cool. I like her a lot. And she introduced me to the Periscope thing, and I had heard about it, but it wasn't available on Android. Now it is. So I downloaded it with her standing right there, and I was like, okay, what do I do? So she showed me what to do, and lo and behold, I did it, and I quite enjoyed it. Kind of periscoped right from pit road, right from pit wall. So that was pretty cool, and I kind of periscoped my dog at the park, and that was really cool. I think we can have some fun with this periscope thing, and I have already asked my web designer if there's a way that we could incorporate a periscope type like or whatever, if we can integrate it into racefansrock.com, which would be super cool. Check that out. But make sure to visit my website, infieldjen.com, on a daily basis. Check out the latest news, pictures, videos, race results, blog posts, cool fan stories, my high-speed headlines, team press releases, and a lot more. So check it out. see what you missed, and get all caught up. It's all right there on InfoDang.com. And don't forget to click over to the merchandise tab and get yourself some Infield Gen gear now that I have it. I got everything from bumper stickers, T-shirts, even a coffee mug. So it's cool. We can have a cup of coffee together. That would be awesome. I'm also working with my partner site, racegear.com, on creating an official really cool Infield Gen T-shirt, a koozie, and a hat, which he says will be available soon. So check it out. And hey, check out racegear.com. Owned by David Allen. He's my web guy. His racegear.com website is really cool. He's got a lot of really cool stuff that a lot of fans will like, T-shirts, hats, you know, racing memorabilia kind of stuff, autograph stuff. So check it out. All his autographs, I can guarantee you that they are authentic. I don't go out and get them for him because I'm not allowed to do that, but his stuff is authentic, and I know that it is. So check it out and get yourself some pretty cool stuff, okay? Well, I am out of time for tonight's show. I want to thank my guests, Nick Graff, for coming on to talk with me about his Dover International Speedway experience, and Kyle Baker, who is my Pocono Raceway dedicated fan and a Sam reporter. I want to thank Highland Wealth Advisors once again for their continued support, Tate's Cleaning Services for helping me keep a clean home, and to everyone of you guys who tuned in. I hope you guys out there all enjoy this weekend's races at Michigan International Speedway and Gateway Park. I can't wait to see all the pictures and fun everyone at the races will have this weekend. And it will all be posted on InfoGen.com under the Fan Central section. I'll post the pics that I take on InfoGen.com, and that will be under the gallery section. My dedicated fan and the Sam reporter for the entire weekend, this week, coming weekend up, is Rachel Tinney. And we're going to get to do this all again next Tuesday night, I hope. And I hope that you'll tune in for that one too. Have a great week, and I'll catch up with you again right here, same day, same time. And remember, everyone, racefansrock.com. Pass it on. Good night.